1 Timothy chapter 6. I sent out the breeze yesterday and I gave you the title of my message. Are you content as you enter 2024? Can you say, preacher, I'm satisfied. I'm content. I got some definitions of content. Happy enough with what one has or is. Well, there's a lot in that statement right there. Happy enough with what one has or what one is. Got another one. Not desiring something more or different. That's contentment. Hey, I need more, or I need something different. And then I just put one word that I think pretty much encapsulate. I still don't have it. Anyway, let's move on. That's the word satisfied. Sometimes I have problems with some words. Sorry about that. You know, our inability to get satisfaction is the main root of our problems. Do you realize the root of all sin is discontentment? The root of all sin is discontentment. You say, preacher, explain it. I got three examples. Y'all remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God provided complete satisfaction for them. Can you imagine walking with God in the evening and having that type of relationship? He was their satisfaction, but they forfeited His abundant provision when they chose to sin. They were not content with the fruit on these trees. They wanted the fruit on this tree. The one that God said, don't eat of that fruit. They were discontent. Why wasn't those trees good enough? Why did they have to desire another type fruit that was on this forbidden tree? That is the lust of the eyes. You ever had a problem with the lust of the eyes? You see what someone else has. You say, I don't have that. I want that. All right, number two, I thought of King David. He fell into sin with Bathsheba. He was not content with the wives, and I'll say plural, that God had already given him. He was already married. He's got wives, but he had to go after another man's wife, which, by the way, it's still sin in 2024. Adultery, fornication. Well, the bottom line, he wasn't content with what God had given him. That is the lust of the flesh. We've all battled that. We battle the lust of the eyes. We battle the lust of the flesh. Number three, I thought of Uzziah and I thought of the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Uzziah the king wanted to offer sacrifices like a priest. One day he got so proudful that he entered the temple and acted like the priest. Guess what God did? Struck him with leprosy until the day of his death. He was not content with his position as the king. He wanted to be a priest also. That's pride, y'all. So in each one of these instances, Adam and Eve, King David, King Uzziah, we see a discontentment on their part. You cannot find contentment or satisfaction through the ways of this world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. It is impossible. Many of you know the singer Mick Jagger. He said it correctly. After being frustrated with all that life had to offer, he sang a song, I can't get no satisfaction, even though I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. See, he was looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And a lot of our friends and neighbors, even some of us, you're still looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. Let me just ask you some questions this morning. Are you content right now? You say, preacher, I don't really know. Well, this will help you. Listen, these are just a series of questions. Does seeing someone else get the credit bother you? Number two, do you ever think that you are the only one working at something? Number three, are you jealous when others get recognized or promoted? Number four, do you secretly desire glory, prestige, recognition? Number five, do you harbor criticism or murmur against the leadership in your life? Number six, do you desire the position or responsibility of someone else? Number seven, do you want more, more, more? All seven of those questions are symptoms of discontent. I wonder how many of you would say, I'm just willing to serve. I don't have to have people serve me. I just want to be the servant. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Say it with me. Ready? But godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, if you've got godliness and you couple it with contentment, you have great wealth. You say, preacher, you ought to look at my bank account. I don't have great wealth. Well, according to the Word of God, if you've got godliness and contentment together, then you are rich. You have great gain. Now, godliness means that we trust God to provide for everything. Can you say that this morning? I am trusting God to provide for everything in my life, not just finances, but recognition, needs, everything. God is saying to us from this scripture, I want that which is on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God. How many got the Holy Spirit of God inside? You better raise your hand, okay, if you're saved, all right? If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit inside. God is actually telling us, I want that which is on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God, to be what keeps you going and not what is on the outside, the things of this world, the stuff you don't have right now. You know, if I depend on the resources within me, I don't have to depend on the substitutes that are around me. Did you get that? I need to depend upon the resources within me, the Holy Spirit's power. And as I yield to Him, then I don't have to settle for the substitutes of the world and everything that it has to offer. You cannot find satisfaction in the ways of the world. So, true contentment. I've got a statement for you. True contentment comes from godliness in the heart, not wealth in the hand or in the bank. You got it? True contentment comes from godliness in the heart. When God was leading the children of Israel in the wilderness, many of you remember that story. Each day, as they exited their tent early in the morning, they found these weird wafers sitting on the ground. And it was called manna. They had manna pudding for breakfast. Now, if you know the story of God providing for him, first of all, that is awesome. Is that awesome that God fed them every day? He loved his people. He was going to take care of them. And I wonder if anybody was outside watching all that manna drop from the sky and just, wow, this is awesome. He was trying to teach them to be content with his provision for every day. He only gave them enough for that day. You say, preacher, what would happen to the manna? Well, you couldn't put it in the refrigerator and save it. You know what it would begin to do at the end of the day? Spoil. Rank. It was a rank smell. It was awful. They had to get rid of it. He only gave them what they needed for that day. God wants to give you enough for right now. You say, why? because it creates a dependence upon Him for tomorrow. And what God has given to us now is enough. And boy, He's going to provide for you. He's going to see that your needs are met, and He wants you to be content with His provision for today. So godliness with contentment is the key. Now I got four principles, but you got to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Everybody turn there, Philippians chapter 4. I got four principles that I want you to learn before we leave today. Number one, well, let's go ahead and read the passage. Let's read Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want. Paul is saying, it's not that I was ever in need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'm content with whatever I have. Can you say that today? Along with the Apostle Paul. I am content with whatever I have. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Hey, I can live on almost nothing. Or I can live on everything. Either way. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Hey, I can serve God on a full stomach. I can serve God on an empty stomach. That's basically what he's saying. Both to abound and to suffer need. Hey, I can have plenty or I can have little. My contentment's not based on what I have or what I don't have. And then verse 13, we all know this. Say it with me. Ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things means everything. Every part of your life. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, out of these three verses, I'm going to give you 4 points. Number one, our contentment is not dependent upon our circumstances. He says in verse 11, whatever state I am in. That doesn't mean Virginia, North Carolina, Texas, or Tennessee, okay? It means wherever I'm at in life, I'm content with whatever I have. I don't know what you're going through right now, but how many of you believe in the providence of God? That's a great word. Pro, the first part of providence, pro, is a Latin word that means before. And then providence, we get the word video from. Of course, we know what video means, to see. So God's providence simply means God sees it beforehand. Aren't you glad that before anything comes into your life, it has passed across God's desk before it got to you? Is that a good way to put it? He had to put His stamp of approval on it. He saw it beforehand. And that gives me peace. I don't know about you. But it is God working in advance to arrange circumstances, to arrange situations for the fulfilling of His purposes. Joseph, what a mess. His brothers hated him. They envied him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him as a slave. And you're saying, man, this is getting bad. Well, he was then taken to Egypt. You know the story. He was then, after many years, elevated to the second in position right under the Pharaoh. This is an Israelite boy that's now second in command in Egypt. He saved Egypt from a famine. Because God used His talents and His ability, His organizational skills, and so much more. And then, of course, He's able to save the nation of Israel as well. His brothers were the 12 tribes of Israel would become that. Now, this is the providence of God. He basically says in Genesis 50, after all that ordeal is over, He's been reunited with His brothers. He basically tells them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Has anyone tried to mess your life up? But overall, then you now today you can look back on it and say, you know what? They intended to harm me, but God meant it for good. God intended it all for my good and for His glory. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. That's what Joseph told his brothers. He brought me to Egypt for a purpose. God saw beforehand, and His hand was in everything that happened in my life. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to hold it against you because I see the providence of God. How many believe His hand rules and overrules in the affairs of our life? Every part of them. Life is not a series of accidents. Are you with me? Life is not a series of accidents. Life is a series of divine appointments. God is in control. He has been since the beginning. And He's still in control in 2024. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Woo! Aren't you glad God's got His eyes on you this morning? And He wants to guide you? He sees beforehand. Man, that's why we got to have a relationship with Him that is so close, that we're just following His lead as He guides us. So Paul is saying here in verse 11, my happiness does not depend on circumstances or things. My joy comes from something deeper. Now you say, does that mean life is going to be easy? I did not say that. Life is not a playground. It's a battleground. Would you say amen right there? Are you with me? Okay, so then what is contentment? Not an escape from the battle, but rather an abiding peace and confidence in the midst of the battle. There's a difference, y'all. Contentment's not avoiding the battle. You're going to have battles in your life. Every one of us can tell stories of how it's been a tough year, or maybe the past 2 years or whatever. 5 years ago was rough. Hey, not an escape. Not the easy life, not a bed of roses. But it's that abiding peace and confidence in God during the battle. We need to remember that. Our contentment's not dependent upon our circumstances. Number two, contentment is an attitude we learn, not a thing we achieve. Remember in verse 11, it says, for I have learned. Learned means through experience. I didn't learn everything about pastoring in college. There's one thing to go through the books, hear the lectures, take the notes, take the test, and it's another thing sitting back in that office and pastoring a church. You can only learn some things through experience. Colton, would you say the same thing? Pastor Earl, can you say the same thing, brother? And so this learned, you experience, it takes experience. So Paul did not have, listen, contentment immediately when he got saved. It was learned through a process of time. He had to go through many difficulties in life in order to learn how to be content. Contentment is a part of the maturing process. Every child, when they're little, it seems, they are never content. Can I hear an amen right there? For you parents and grandparents, they want more, more, more. That's just immaturity. And that's the way it is with a baby Christian. But through the years, and the closer they get to Jesus, and the more that they're in church, and they're fellowshipping with God's people, they have a love for God and a love for people. Oh my goodness, over time, you turn around and they're maturing. And they're more content. So it takes a long time to realize that all we need is found in Jesus. It's not the car you drove here. It's not the house you live in. It's not the job that you have or the money you got in the bank. Because He lives within me, I am ready for the demands of this life. It's because of Him. How many believe He's sufficient? Woo! He is our satisfaction. He's enough. But you don't learn that overnight. Would y'all agree with me? You didn't learn that right when you got saved. But over time, now you can testify of it. Boy, He's a good God. He takes care of me. So contentment's not the fulfillment of what you want, but the realization of how much you already have. Have you just sat down and listed what you already have in Jesus? Boy, it'd be a long list, y'all, if you really got serious about it. Not worrying about so much that you don't have, but realizing and being thankful for what you already have. Number three, prosperity does not have the power to give us contentment, nor poverty the power to take it away. Verse 12, simply, he's talking about, hey, I know how to have plenty. I know how to have little. I know how to serve God and be content with a full stomach or an empty stomach. Both, I know how to be humble. His happiness was not dependent on poverty or prosperity. Most of us have learned how to be abased. Listen. When difficulties come into our lives, what do? Immediately, we run to Jesus and we yell, help! How many have done that in 2023? Something comes up, run to Jesus. We're in a mess. We need some help. But few of us have learned how to abound. A lot of times it's more easy to handle the abasement than it is to handle the aboundment. When things are great, God's meeting all your needs. Things are going well. I believe prosperity has done more damage to believers than adversity. You say, preacher, what's a symptom of that? Revelation 3:17, when it talks about the church of Laodicea, which, by the way, that is the church age that we are in right now. You know what it says about the church of Laodicea? I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. Woo, that's so true of today's church as a whole. Hey, I don't need anything. We're good. And a lot of churches, they got plenty of money in the bank, and everything's going great. They don't realize they've got to still depend on Jesus Christ. A Christian couple was on a missions trip to Europe. At a church gathering, the couple assured the believers there that the Christians back in America were praying for them. But you're not going to believe the response that she heard from this Christian over in Europe. She said, we're happy for that. We're happy that Christians in America are praying for us. But we feel that Christians in America need more prayer than we do. Here's what she said. Y'all got to listen. Ready? We here in Eastern Europe are suffering. But the Christians in America are very comfortable. And it's always harder to be a good Christian when you are comfortable. Wow. Contentment cannot come from money, cannot come from material things. They will never satisfy the heart. Only God can do that. When we have God, we have all we need. Boy, there's a song I used to love back in the 90s. When all we have is Jesus, Jesus is all we need. When all we have is Jesus, He's all we need. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Material things won't be so high on our priority list if we are contented Christians. Jesus will be enough. Number four, and I'm done. Wake up for this last one, all right? Only Jesus has the power to give us contentment. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A lot of times when you ask somebody, hey, what's your favorite verse? Boom, they bring this verse out. Paul is saying, it's the power of Christ within me that gives me spiritual contentment. Paul didn't have to be pampered to be content. How many love to be pampered? Ladies, how many of you do your nails or do your feet? All them fancy things y'all do, you get pampered. It's nice, but Paul's saying, I don't need all that to be content. He found his contentment in the abundant resources that Jesus provides. I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. I can do all things, but don't leave that the next two words out. Through Christ. He's the one that strengthens me. All you have to do is just stay attached to the vine. John 15 talks about he is the vine, we're the branches. Just stay connected to your power source. Stay connected to the vine. And then that passage, it says, without me, ye can do nothing. Have y'all realized that yet? Without him, you can do nothing. Maintain your communion. Maintain your intimacy with Jesus. The power of God is there to see you through anything. He'll bring contentment. Now, I just want to finish up with verse 19. We talk about contentment, but here's my conclusion. Verse 19 is another popular verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, hey, the same God that gives me contentment can also give you contentment. And he will supply all your needs. Hey, if we're in the will of God, serving for the glory of God, then he's going to meet every need that we have. I didn't say he'd meet every greed. Some people get greedy, especially at Christmas time. I want this, 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 this. And when they get down to it, and the presents are all open, doggone it, I didn't get something on my list. I'm not talking about the greeds. I'm talking about the needs. And he's promised to supply them. Look at the point I've got for you. It's personal. My God. It's positive. Shall supply. It doesn't say maybe, does it? It doesn't say God might do this for you. No, it's personal. My God. It's positive. Shall supply. It's precise. All means all. All my needs. It's plentiful according to his riches in glory. And it is powerful in Christ Jesus. Put them all on there, boys, and wrap it up. Personal, positive, precise, plentiful, and powerful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Last week we sang about the goodness of God. Would you agree he's been so good? Can you say amen right there? Woo, he's been so good. Well then, are you content as you enter this new year? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hey, let's remember these four principles. Only Jesus has the power to give us contentment. Contentment is not found in material things. Prosperity does not have the power to give you contentment. Poverty doesn't have the power to take it away. Contentment is an attitude we learn, not a thing we achieve. And contentment is not dependent upon our circumstances. Lord, help us be content in this new year. Thank you for what you have provided. Thank you that you see things beforehand. You're in control of everything that's happening in our lives. And Lord, with that in mind, trusting in the power that lives within us, help us to live in contentment.